Before I begin, I'd like to acknowledge that 3CR broadcasts from the Wurundjeri land of the Kulin Nation, where sovereignty was never ceded. I pay respects to elders past, present and emerging, and I understand that as a white woman living on stolen land, I benefit every day from these racist and unequal power structures. Welcome to 3CR for International Day of People with Disability. My name is Jessie Lee, aka The Inclusionist. A brief intro of me. I've worked on and off in the disability field for 18 years, moving from a segregated group environment into a more inclusive roles. I identify as a person with a disability, and I have a Facebook group by the name of The Inclusionist if anyone wants to further the conversation on inclusion after the show. You are listening to 3CR, and this show is about inclusive education. On the 26th of October 2018, I went to a protest at the Department of Education regarding inclusive education. Coming up today are recorded interviews and speeches from the day. We're going to hear from Julie Phillips, one of the organisers of the protest, and then we're going to have some real-life experiences from Danny Dixon and Tim Chan. The Inclusionist. I'm standing here at the Department of Education with Julie Phillips prior to the protest starting. If you wanted to say a few words about what brings you here today.
Yes, well, this protest is really about the discrimination and mistreatment of children with disabilities in Victorian government schools. And this issue has been really highlighted by a number of statutory authorities and parliamentary committees over the last 10 years. And unfortunately, nothing is changing for these children. So this is a group coming together of kids with disabilities, their families, advocates, really just trying to persuade the Department of Education that these reports need to be listened to, the children need to be listened to, and we need a fair education for them. One of our most strongest concerns is the assaults happening against kids with disabilities in schools, locking them up in rooms, physically restraining them, the failure to provide the resources to schools that they need to treat these kids professionally, and the fact that so many kids are not even in schools because the schools aren't capable of educating them. And we just believe that things must change urgently.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of documentation and research on the subject, and it seems like inclusive education is beneficial to everyone, so it doesn't really make sense that it's taking stalling so long to get things happening in Victoria.
Yeah, that's right. And unfortunately, we've just had a new inclusion policy this year which does not comply with Australia's obligations under the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. So it's unclear what needs to be done for the Department of Education to meet its obligations under law and just with a humane attitude towards these kids.
Are you able to elaborate on the policy and what that means?
So the right to an inclusive education is enshrined in the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, and it really is the right for kids with disabilities to learn alongside kids without disabilities. So it's really talking about the continued segregation, people in special schools who are really having a very reduced education. It's about the fact that, you know, special schools in other countries are really being closed at the moment, and we keep building them and we keep making these mini special schools on the grounds of mainstream schools as if that's a mainstream inclusive education. So there just continues to be a complete lack of understanding about Australia's obligations in that regard and the benefits of kids with and without disabilities learning alongside each other.
Thank you so much for that. I'll give you some time to get organised.
Thanks. Hang around.
Yeah, I'll be here. Thanks so much.
So now I'd like to introduce Danny. Now, Danny is 20 years old and is currently completing a Bachelor of Screen Media degree. He has a disability and also has a brother with a disability. He's a strong advocate for other people with other children with disability in schools and students with children. So I'm going to pass it over to Danny and he can tell his own story. Thank you.
Woo! Hello, I'm Danny Dixon. As you know, as of a few seconds ago, I'm 20 years old and studying in a Bachelor of Screen Media. I'm here today because I'm deeply concerned about that kids with disability are being denied their rights to a quality and inclusive education. I've had some fantastic experiences at school, but I've also had some really, really terrible ones. I first went to Clifton Hill Primary School, which was a good school. No, good's an understatement. It was brilliant. Like, really brilliant. I learned lots. I had fun. I contributed to my learning and made great friends. The school and principal believed all kids should learn. And they should learn. They were good at recognizing the extra support I needed, and I just felt like I belonged, like all other kids should. We had our moments, what child doesn't, but the principal would always listen to me and give me a fair hearing. I felt safe and well-liked. I then went to two separate high schools. I had a really tough time at the first high school, who I went to. I was not able to get the support I needed, as many of the staff did not seem to understand much about disability and what assistance I needed. I was constantly bullied by a few kids who taunted, tricked, and embarrassed me. One even called me in the R1 and punched me in the stomach. Not pleasant. I got very depressed. I didn't feel safe. I didn't feel respected. So I changed schools during year 10 to my younger brother's school, Adam. He went to Fitzroy High School. So after taking a look, I decided to go there too. Things went back on track for me. I completed VCE, which was hard and stressful, but I accomplished it. Now I've gone on to university and I'm currently studying a Bachelor of Screen Media. Again, and like I've said, it's going pretty well. And while there may be difficulties with the disability office, outside of them, the uni experience has been great. I know that I am lucky, that I am so lucky when I hear about the experiences of so many other kids with disability. Especially with what we've heard today, kids being bullied, kids being denied the right to communicate at high school. Everyone has a right to learn. I really worry about for kids if they don't get a good education, what their future will be like. A good education sets you up for life. And it's just plain wrong that so many kids with disability are missing out, even though they shouldn't have to miss out. One of the things I want to say today is that bullying is an issue that must be addressed for kids with disability. I think this is because disability is seen as an inability and a weakness. We need teachers, principals, and other kids to learn that disability is a difference and not a bad thing. My disability means I need extra support in some areas, and in other ways, it gives me abilities which are truly unique and give me great strength. Disability is not a big deal, but sadly, many people still view disability as a negative. So I hope today that politicians at the Department of Education are listening. Kids with disability have the same rights as everyone else to have the same opportunities to feel better and be valued at school. To feel valued at school. We need to do much better. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to The Inclusionist.
Communication is a human right. After the experience of being denied my voice, I know that communication is essential to living.
Without a means for communication, we cannot connect with people or engage with life. We are like boats adrift in a storm, and life is not worth living. When we communicate with people in our own voice, we are part of the human family and we also have opportunities to learn and grow to our full potential. From my own experience, people with complex communication needs are desperately reaching out for connection, for a say in their lives and to be involved with other people.
We need to be heard and given the means and resources to communicate.
Please listen to us, so we can live the life everyone is entitled to talk to people, to engage with our community and participate in our learning. Educators, teachers and families need to work together to bring communication and the opportunities for learning and participation for students without speech.
When we put our heads together to work out solutions, we will achieve our goals and the inclusion we are striving for.
There's an obviously intelligent young man who's been denied access to an education because of the rigidity of the system.
And that was Julie Phillips, Danny Dixon and Tim Chan. And you are listening to 3CR for International Day of People with a Disability. And I have to apologise that due to some technical issues, my recording of Tim Chan's speech is incomplete. But this man had a lot to say, and you can see more of his story on sbs.com.au if you search the headline, Inappropriate IQ Tests Result in Tens of Thousands Misdiagnosed with Intellectual Disability. Coming up, I interview autism advocate Bryce Pace. All right, I'm in the studio with Bryce Pace, autism advocate. Now, Bryce, okay, so you have first-hand experience in... So you went through a mainstream school...
Yes, so I am on the autism spectrum myself, and I did go through mainstream education, so that's kind of where my experience comes from, with both how the current education system is, and also got a bit of experience in, inclusive education as well.
Okay, would you be able to expand on what your experience was?
Definitely. So in primary school... for the first 2 years, I was prior to my diagnosis as being on the spectrum. So first 2 years, there was no official diagnosis. However, I did still have trouble. I didn't actually understand much of what the teacher was talking about. I couldn't actually read until grade two. That's actually due to me also being dyslexic. So I got two diagnoses there, which makes things fun. Fast forward like 2 years, I was diagnosed with autism at the age of nine. And my primary school decided to start treating me differently with that diagnosis because they assumed that I didn't need to learn the same things that a typical child my age should have been learning. They actually put me into special classes that taught me life skills. For my maths class, I baked packet mix cakes. And for reading in that, they actually taught me how to read a phone book. So anyone needs to know how to read a phone book, just give me a ring.
You're the man to go to. And this was in a mainstream setting?
Yes, this was in a mainstream primary school. So
yeah, wow, because that sounds really similar to like an adult day centre setting, which also should be more educational, in my opinion. Right, so I'm always just kind of shocked when I hear that is happening in a mainstream setting. But like, there was a protest recently that I went to on inclusive education. And there was just so many people with experiences of being locked in cages and just being denied communication aids and just being completely denied educational resources. So it sounds like that's actually more of the norm.
Yeah, well, I was actually in primary school. I was locked in the vice principal's office for a full day. So I've got a bit of experience of that as well. Luckily, it was only for a day. Some students, sadly, locked in cages and that for up to like a terms at a time.
And, yeah.
Of course, parents don't know because the student, they're too scared to tell their parents just in case it gets out and gets worse.
Mm.
That's actually what happened to me. I didn't tell anybody. The school didn't tell my parents, my mother. I didn't tell my mother. My mother didn't actually know about this until a year ago when I just decided to tell everyone.
Wow. So. Yeah. And I guess, a lot of schools would be relying on the fact that people aren't communicating these issues to their families or otherwise. Would you be able to tell us what inclusive education looks like to you?
Yeah, sure. So I've actually done quite a bit of research on this because you may have may remember early last year that Pauline Hanson made those comments in Parliament, whatever it was, that disability students shouldn't be in mainstream classrooms. So on that, that actually got me quite a bit of publicity, I guess, because I started to write a bit more about that.
Nice.
So that Thanks, research, Pauline. I found that the majority of, I guess, the description of it, with most of the sites I went to, they said that inclusive schools welcome everyone into mainstream classrooms while still providing appropriate support to those who need it. They do not discriminate against difference. However, they actually encourage it. So,
yeah, and so a lot of people, I think, don't understand how that works in a classroom setting. Can you explain, you know, how inclusive education kind of works? Is everyone learning the same thing at the same time?
Well, as we all know, everyone is different, so everyone actually learns in a slightly different way. So technically there shouldn't be much difference to how you actually should be teaching at the moment because, well, yeah, everyone does learn in a slightly different way. So possibly that student, they will, well, of course, they learn a different way as well. So there'd be something that kind of, I guess, gets to them that, yeah, helps them learn. Yeah, some students with the appropriate support, they may need like an aid there that knows how they their unique way of learning.
So the
I guess.
Teachers or so. The, and or the aides help each student to do their best with the curriculum as it stands.
I guess you could say that. it's a really difficult topic at the moment, really, because. Yeah, everyone has a different idea of inclusive education, so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, my understanding is that, you know, inclusion is about including everybody into what's available rather than making special schools for people with disabilities and so forth, so.
Yeah, well, for me, it's pretty much, yeah, it's about, because inclusion, it's more than just having them in the classroom, it's actually making them feel like they're welcome, that, you know, they are welcome into society because at the moment, yeah, you go into, special classes and that. I was separated from my peers for most of the day. That actually made me a target for bullying in that. And the bullying rate is extremely high and that makes the mental health of people with disability very low. It actually... I attended the, I actually spoke at the Daru conference, and there's an interesting statistic that came up through one of the talks, and it was if disabled teens received the same level of bullying as non-disabled teens, so abled or whatever you want to call that, their mental health, so disabled teens' mental health, would actually improve by 50%. So I think that's saying a lot to how
so
it currently
the
is.
So the bullying that they're receiving is contributing to their mental health? Is that what that's saying?
Yes, and that's also leading to a higher suicide rate as well.
Okay. So our theme for today, International Day of People with a Disability, is rights and choice. I don't really understand how people are meant to exert their rights or their choice if they don't first get the education, like get an education. Okay, I did just want to, I think that the rest of my thoughts earlier were that it's like we expect people to participate in society in some like tangible way, but we're not arming people with disabilities with the resources to do that in a valued way. So that's just a thought. We'll leave that as a thought. do you have, like, are there any specific changes that you would like to see within the education department / system that you think would support inclusive education?
Well, there's many things, really. the main thing at the moment is just education, because I am aware that when teachers do their training and that, there is a little bit on disability now, but I feel that's not enough. Well, I advocate for choice. I don't like to remove the option of special development schools.
Yeah.
However, I do feel like there needs to be you need to be able to give the students and their family the choice of what education they think that they need.
I think that when given the option for valued, authentic lives, most people wouldn't choose the other, because my background is working in special development schools or at ATSSs, and I really never saw anything that was giving people an education or giving them valued roles or giving them connections to community that would enhance their life in any fulfilling way. And I just don't think that that should be a default option for anyone, because everybody wants to be living an authentic life that's true to them, doing, you know, things that they're passionate about, that make them feel good. What is your work as an advocate entail? What do you do to advocate for inclusive education?
Well, it's actually sort of interesting, because I actually got into advocating completely by accident. So in year 11, I kind of got sick of my peers using the word autistic as an insult. So I went home and I did what most teenagers do in these situations. I hopped online, I wrote a Facebook post, and that kind of sparked my career, I guess you could say. And that still is one of the bigger parts of my work, is writing blog posts and that about current issues, giving my opinion and the opinion of other people on the spectrum. There's quite a few other things I do. I also do quite a lot of speaking. I actually now offer free talks in schools and youth groups to sort of, educate people on differences and that. Mm. So they're, in the long run, they become more accepting of difference.
Yeah.
And another exciting thing which I am working on at the moment is getting my concept of recharge rooms into mainstream schools. So a recharge room is for those that don't know, is a quiet and controlled space where people of all abilities can go to relax and recharge, allowing them to be more engaged in high sensory activities such as, class, being in the classroom and all that. So that is something that I'm working on at the moment, which I'm hoping to introduce the pilot program next year. I'm just looking for schools currently.
Awesome.
They're interested.
So that sounds great.
That should be a major thing with hopefully helping schools become a bit more inclusive.
Wow.
So,
well, it sounds like you're doing heaps of awesome stuff. Do you want to let our listeners know where they can go to check out your blog?
Yeah, sure. So you can actually check out my website, which is BrycePaceAutismAdvocate.com, and that's got pretty much information on everything has my blog on there, but it's also got, my contact details, the services I do on that, and yeah.
Excellent. Well, I think that that's about all that we've got time for today, and thank you so much for coming in and giving me all your great insights into inclusive education.
No problem. Thanks for inviting me.
Thanks again.
Thanks so much for listening to the show. Remember to check out my Facebook group, The Inclusionist, and stay tuned for more informative shows for International Day of People with a Disability on 3CR. Thank you.